Come along with us as we discuss our heritage for our legacies.
Welcome to our journey.
Hey, everybody. This is Michael.
This is David.
This is Keith.
So, it's been a while since we've done a podcast, so we got together here and we just got through moving some tables and pews around here in the church, getting ready a fish fry. But it's kind of going over some things that's happened in the past couple weeks since we've done our podcast. We apologize that we hadn't put one out, but we've had busy lives.
Yeah, and I don't think the 12 folks out there, I haven't had any phone calls, you know, like, hey, we'll make another podcast.
I did.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Yeah, hey, we're thankful for that.
Yeah, Mike Mercer gives me every Monday morning. Where's it at? But, no, it's, you know, we've had a lot of things going on and...
a lot of things going.
We went over to Thomasville weekend before last for Austin and Annalise, where... Let's go ahead and put that plug in there. If you want to get married and you need a pastor, David can do it for you.
Well,
and he can do it in less than 10 minutes.
Okay. All right. So Keith has way more practice than I ever have with any of that. But when we went over it, Austin asked me to do it. And, you know, Austin's one of my boys. If whatever he asks, I'm going to, you know, do. And he's not the only one out there that I consider to be one of my boys, but Austin's one of them. And so when he, I never, ever thought that I would be doing the, what's officiating a wedding. I never dreamed that that would happen. And then when Austin asked me, I said yes, but then I looked at Keith, or I looked to Keith, and I said, Keith, I don't know how to do it. What do we have to do? And, you know, this says a lot about Keith because, you know, Keith's our pastor in our church. And, you know, he could have said, you know, because a lot in the world would say, but I'm the pastor. I should be the one doing it. But Keith never said that. If he did, he never said it to me. And I really don't believe he feels that. He has helped me. He showed me, you know, what we need to do. And we could do it two different ways. We want to do it through the church. We want to be ordained to perform one because we feel like it's religious. We take it very seriously, right? And the other way is you can go online and fill out a piece of paper and be online sanctioned, I guess, to do it.
Right. So but, which way are you?
Well, ordained. And that's, I'm ordained as an elder in our church. That's the way that we chose to go about it. So that, and that just about everybody that you're doing what? Yeah. I'm officiating a wedding. How are you doing that? I'm an elder in our church. You're a what?
Yeah.
So, yeah, record time wedding. It was a beautiful wedding.
And
we had a good time there.
Beautiful facility. It's an awesome place. I don't know how much her family had to save up, but it was worth it. I can't say I've ever been to a more elegant or prettier scene, you know. It was great. When we did the rehearsal, they had no songs in it at all. There was no lighting of the candles. There was no mixing of the sands. You know, just about every wedding you go to, there's some kind of something that kills time, right? And I told them, I said, this is going to be a fast wedding. That's what we want. Well, that's what they got.
Record time.
It was several sitting in the back that whenever it was over, they were looking around like, really? It's over?
We just sat down.
Nobody got too hot?
No, for sure.
No.
And with Larley being very pregnant. I think that was another good thing, you know. She didn't have to stand up because she was in the wedding. And some of the guys probably couldn't stand up much longer.
Right.
You know, I don't, they're not pregnant, but, you know, they, it was a wedding. And
they might have had a long night before.
Hey, they went bowling, I heard, and bowling.
So, last weekend was Mother's Day.
Yeah.
We had a lot of family mothers, and we had a large crowd here in church.
Yeah, we did. It was pretty.
Yep. We had a lot of babies in the crowd. Yeah. And we also went to Patterson at 8:30 that right. morning for Logan and Lacey's babies, Isla Kate and Whit. They got dedicated to the Lord.
That's awesome.
And that was a great ceremony that they had, because it really isn't about the babies. It's holding the parents accountable, and it holds the community and church that's there. It gives them the power to remind mm-hmm. the parents, here's what you did.
And it really is. I mean, it's about those babies for sure, but yeah, it's more about the parents
holding them accountable
mm-hmm. and standing up and saying, hey, you know, this is what we believe.
Yeah.
And this is what we want our children to grow up in. And it's awesome to see that at a young age. That's awesome.
Well, I'm proud of them.
And for the church to say, hey, we're here for you.
Yeah, you definitely.
Know, we don't expect you to get it all right. We don't expect you to meet every challenge head on and
take get it
all. Yeah. Yeah, get it all by yourself. We're here for you.
Right.
And as a family, a church, it's really an awesome thing to be able to do that and get with them and show them, hey, we're standing behind you.
Yep. So
we had a good bit of what was the official tally of mothers that were in service with us that morning? Do you remember?
Around 16.
That's what I was thinking. I remember you saying something. That's pretty good for our church.
it's real good for our church.
That's awesome.
They had, I think there was 10 or 15 babies up there vacated that day in Patterson that morning. And that was, I mean, to have a big crowd here, that mm-hmm. that was good to me.
Yeah.
Mama was here. You know, we had a good time. Which all my boys got together, and I say my boys, that's mine and Dixie's boys. They all got together and cooked us lunch over there. That was some good. But we had another announcement that came up, what, last weekend?
LaSalle had pigs. Is that what you was going to say?
Close. No, but.
I didn't think that was what you were talking about, but that was pretty funny to watch your eyes. But LaSalle did have pigs, though.
Yeah.
3 weeks ago.
Well, what's the count down to, I guess, now? How many we got?
Nine.
And there was 12, so we lost 3.
Which is normal. That's normal. Keith did everything he could to save them.
We're still 2 ahead of what she had last time, and we lost 2 last time. So we only kept 5.
Right. That was just her first litter. And so that's normal, too.
Good deal.
We're learning.
But you talking about Bailey?
Yeah.
Bailey proposed. He sure did. His girlfriend, his fiance, you know.
Fiance.
She graduated from college, and they were having a little cookout for her. He took that moment, used it as a little bit of a ruse. And it was funny because she's a good for Bailey. And we all know it, and we love her to death. But Bailey, y'all know Bailey, he's kind of funny, and he talks a lot, and he's not scared of anything. He used to ride bulls, but when it was time for him to do the propose, then he froze. Sydney figured it out because it was you know, so emotional to him. She kind of figured it out, and then her heart was about to bust out of her chest. While he was doing it, I'd have never done that. I couldn't have done it the way that they're doing it now in front of front of parents and grandparents and all.
Yeah.
No, and I proposed my net. It was down in the woods, down behind the field. What else has been going on?
Well, we recognize Liz Ann today.
Liz Ann is graduating high school. This is her last week.
Yes.
Technically, she's graduated other than getting her
she
diploma.
She has met all the requirements.
Yeah.
To go to the next level.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that was, recognizing them in church, again, to show them that, hey, we're here for you.
Right.
Things are changing, you're making a shift in your life, going to the next step of college and change and just for the church to say, hey, we're here for you.
Right. Well, we've also got Lila that's graduating.
Yeah.
Chris's daughter, Lila.
And she did excellent.
Yeah. She's a little, I mean.
Salutatorian.
Salutatorian. Number two in the class.
Is Chris the valedictorian?
No.
Oh, no, that's
no,
him.
No,
I'm
no,
sorry. No, that's awesome.
It could have been.
Because that's a big school system, too, now.
Yeah, that's Coffee County over there.
I mean.
That's 400 students over
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
That's an awesome accomplishment.
Yeah. And Dixie's niece, which is little Eddie's daughter, she's graduating, with Lila up there in Coffee County. So we're going to be up there next weekend. But we had a lot of things going on, and
which is normal.
We got a fish fry coming up tomorrow.
Tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're hosting it here at the church. It's a little community outreach. Uncle Jackie, he's been saying he wanted to do it, and we got another pastor in the community that's connected, that said, hey, I got fish, I got a fryer, I'll help any way I can. And then we got with the sheriff, and we're doing a follow-up meeting to his meeting 2 months ago where he asked the community to start praying about all that's going on with the drug problem that we're having. It's an epidemic in Pierce County. And so we've invited people from... There were 26 churches represented the last time, and we hope to build on that. But we're also going to be bringing up some community events that it's not this church that's it's about. It's about the community, and there's other people that are as involved and more involved than we are that are excited, and we're just all getting together and brainstorming and working together to make some things happen in our community that brings, I would say, togetherness, not just unity.
Well, it's helping to take away the division, for sure.
Yeah.
But then it also is...
supportive.
Supporting some, people that get locked up. You talked about it before on previous shows about the pastors that are going in to the county jail and, speaking a word, and there's people responding.
Yes.
How is that? How is the response that they're getting?
They are seeing it. Well, the way the sheriff put it last time, you've got to have a heart for ministry if you're going to do jail ministry now, because it's not... They invite them in. They come into one room. You go into the cell.
Yeah.
And you're in there, and the door locks behind you. But every cell has 20 to 30 plus inmates in it. They tell the ones that don't want to be involved, they can go in their night room, and that the ones that do want to be involved stay in the day room. And every cell in the jail has had responses saying, we want to be ministered to. And they're doing it multiple times a week.
Good.
And that's huge.
Yep.
And we see that right now the population's increasing there. yeah. So it's a ripe field for ministry, and when we can see change occurring in the lives of people that are at a hopeless situation, it really speaks volumes to what God is doing in their lives.
Yeah. And it took a lot for the sheriff to step up and ask. He was at his wit's end. I mean, he had nowhere else to turn. And I believe God had a lot, you know, to do with that. Everybody's got to hit their bottom before they, or not everybody, but most folks need to hit a bottom before they turn around. And that's what it took for the sheriff to ask for the community to help. So he had reached his end, so it's time to.
Yeah, he and his staff have been worked.
Oh, yeah.
And they need support. And that's what he did. He came to the community and said, hey, churches, we need your support. We need prayer support. We need ministry support. You know, we need ideas of how we can counteract this problem.
Yeah.
And that's where the faith community is getting behind to see a change in our community.
And it ain't about Democrat and Republican. It's, as I call it, Biblicans. You got to be in the Bible and forget all this political mess. And you know, that's where the change is going to happen.
Yeah.
So, what else you got, Dave?
Let's see. When you're talking about the prison ministry, you know, what comes to my mind is that that's works, you know. Our sheriff reaching out to the churches, that's faith.
Yeah.
And the Bible clearly tells us that faith without works is dead. So, you know, it broke my heart a while back. I was talking to some people, and they made it a point to tell me that they were very active in their church. And for some reason, I mean, you hear that all the time, but for some reason it rang a different bell with me this time. Why are we so active in our church? It ain't our church. It's Jesus's church.
Right.
But you see that. You see people following one pastor. They're very active of what goes on in the four walls where they have their church. But God doesn't need us to be active in our church. He needs our church to be active in his church.
That's right.
And when you hear the community coming together to evangelize to inmates, because that's what it is, it's evangelism, that's awesome. And the fact that it's not one church, it's several churches, is great. You know, there's a lot of people that are probably going to get tested. There are a lot of folks that are not used to speaking on the Lord's behalf in front of folks. You're going to get some practice.
That's right.
And I think it's great. I think there's nothing, I couldn't say anything negative about it. I'm so proud of it. I'm proud of our sheriff. I'm proud of our whole community for working on it. But I'm not going to be there. I've got to go to Alabama tomorrow for work. Sometimes I get shipped off and I have to go to work. And I had to give a speech. I've known that I was going to do this for months, and I asked my boss, I said, am I going to have to give a talk? No. For months, the answer has been no, and I keep asking him, hey, am I going to need to, you know, come up with anything for the meeting? No. Last Friday, which today's Sunday, Friday. Yeah, you're going to have to talk, I think, twice.
Twice.
Yeah.
He leaves in the morning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
it's going to be great. Whatever I talk about, it's going to be awesome. I don't know what it is. I don't know what I'm going to talk about.
Did they give you two topics?
Well, they did tell me. I mean, one's just a general update over what's been going on in Georgia concerning, you know, our what we do for a living, and the other one's going to be talking about citrus. Yeah, and I know that none of them. Actually, I got a couple of jokes I need to run past, and I know none of them's ever going to listen to the podcast, so I could go ahead and practice them here to get y'all what you think about that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
All right, now, the first time I ever had to go to the Southern Plant Board meeting, I was very nervous, and I knew that I had to talk, so I had a little bit of a prepared statement. But, of course, when I got up to do mine, there's about 150 people in this room. When I got up to do mine, the electronics went down. I mean, it was ever worst case scenario, and I'm just standing up at the podium, and everybody's looking at me, and I was like, man, this is the most awkward feeling I've ever had in my life. And I said, David, think, what can you do? Say something funny. I don't know. And all I could think was my head. I had the shortest haircut I ever had in my life. I just wanted it touched up before I went. You know how I get the hair off my ears. I got it shaved, man, and it was awful. So I'm sitting there in front of these people, and I'm like, man, my hair is terrible. What can I talk about? I'm going to talk about my hair. And I said, let me tell y'all about my haircut, because everybody's staring at me. Right. This was the first time I had to represent my boss. I've talked at this meeting 2 years before out in Louisiana, and everybody stares at me because I talk
Southern,
Southeast Georgia language, right? And everybody in the place was, I mean, you could have heard a pin drop. It's like, I'm either the greatest speaker in the world or my head's on fire. And I'm looking at all these people. They're PhDs, man. They're highly educated folks, and they were just hanging on everything I said, and it finally hit me. They're listening to me talk. And I got on to them. I said, listen, y'all represent the southern states of the United States of America. Every one of y'all should talk the way I talk. I said, I talk the way my mom and daddy talk, the way my grandparents talk. I said, y'all should talk the way I talk. But that's one thing I never do. I never hide. I never try to put on airs. It would be disastrous if I did, because people could see through it. Right, back to the haircut. All right, so here we are. Second time. I'm up looking at these folks. My head shaved. And I said, I just want y'all to know I went to get a little bit of a haircut before I came. And I go to a little barber shop in Blackshear. And the guy that cuts my hair has been cutting my hair since I was, I don't know, 6, 8 years old, something. He knows me. He knows my family. I go see him all the time. He cuts my hair. Every time I get it cut, I go to the barber shop and get it cut. So I was sitting there, and the guy, I never have to tell him how to cut it. He just knows how to cut it. So he just went to cutting. And when he got through, I looked in the mirror and I said, you cut off all my hair. And the barber looked at me and he said, David. I said, yeah, I'm David. He said, I thought you was your brother. And I said, Justin's bald. And he said, now you are. That's a true story. Right? So now when I get together with these guys from all these states, they kind of expect me to come up with some kind of a story. So me and Laney, this is my new one, me and Laney were going back and forth. I pick on her, she picks on me. She's 20 years old, college student. She knows everything, right? So she uses the word Venmo. And I'm like, yeah, all right. And she looked at me and she said, Daddy, you don't know what Venmo means, do you? Yeah, I know what Venmo, you're right. I mean, I know. I mean, what? Venmo? Yeah, Lainey, she is my daughter. So she goes, Daddy, use it in a sentence. Oh, man, I can tell you. I can do better than that. Use it in a story. When I was in high school, I used to have to work for my grandpa after school. I'd get on the tractor and bush hog. So one day, Grandpa said, David, have you mowed the little field? Grandpa, I've been mowed that 2 weeks ago.
There you go.
Venmo'd.
Yeah.
VMO'd that. And that, the other thing is, of course, Georgia's two-time national champion, and all those other states are going to be sitting there. And,
oh, yeah.
And one of my talks is on citrus, and I've already found this video of Stetson throwing out oranges after the Citrus Bowl win, you know. Yeah, I'm thinking I'm going to use that as my background.
There you go.
Because, you know.
You just happen to be from citrus, the same hometown.
I got a way of throwing Pierce County into my talk, right? Yeah,
right.
I just happen to be from Pierce County. Stetson played football at Pierce County High School. You know, it might be called rubbing it in a little bit, but
yeah. Any of the Southeast Conference
people. Every one of them are.
Yeah. You
know. Yeah.
So I sent y'all a text this week. I think it was Friday. It was a rather long explanation of a few things that I'd experienced that day or the day before. Yeah, it was on Thursday. But I got humbled. I was asked, I've been worried about Peanut and Pierce trying to keep and maintain a job. And I've been praying about it pretty hard. You know, what is it that I need to do to help him? And, you know, God, show me what it is that's, you know, why he can't keep a job. We went to the doctor, and the doctor asked for me, Pierce's mom, to show up. We were going to talk about his allergies. He'd been allergic to some stuff at work and all. But I got an answer to the prayer that I'd been praying about, and I found out that my son has got, let's say, there is an issue why he wasn't maintaining a job, because he didn't feel comfortable. He couldn't be comfortable around, you know, certain people and certain personalities. Well, my personality is one of those that he can't really be around, and that really slapped me in the face. It woke me up to, you know, what are you doing? You know, you talk to your child, you discipline them, you try to do what's best for them, and God finally said, you wanted the answer, here you go. Well, I know now what's going on with him, and, you know, I've got to learn to encourage him in a different way, besides a belt and yelling at him and telling him what to do. But that was a good humble message, or a message to make me humble, to humble myself, to think about what I'm doing. And it was another one that, hey, I'm listening to your prayers. Just, you know, don't rush me to answer them for you. But the thing about it, after that doctor's appointment, we walked out on the porch of that doctor's office, and me and Pierce was standing there, and his mama, and I apologized to him, because I understood, the doctor put it in words where I could understand what I was doing to him. And Pierce told me, he said, Daddy, if you wouldn't have done it the way you did it, I wouldn't be who I am. And that touched me again.
Mm-hmm.
Because he could have been, you know, we could have babied him, and we could have did it certain ways, and he wouldn't have learned things on his own. But he, you know, he said, Daddy, I would be different if you didn't do it the way you did it. And he's not different. I mean, he is, but there's a lot of different stages to what Pierce is going through right now. I'm not prepared to say that on here.
Right.
But because I'm not going to speak it over him. We're going to pray for him.
That's right.
We're going to continue to believe that, you know, all things happen for a reason. And that reason might have been for me to humble myself and prepare him the way he needed to be prepared to go on through life the way he needs to go.
Yeah.
To take care of himself. But I know I sent y'all a text about, you know, some of the things and the concerns that I had and where I was going, but I told y'all, I'm prepared to do whatever I need to do, to say whatever I need to say, to whoever needs to be said to, what God wants me to say. And we all need to be prepared to do that. Whatever it takes to humble yourself, to get to that level, prepare yourself. Because that armor that he's walked me through these last few years of putting on, I'm still working on a few of them. I'm ready to do what I'm supposed to do for his glory. And I know I just had to share that. And I know I shared a little more on the Telegram page in a prayer that I put on Telegram that I'm ready. Put me up to it.
Yeah.
Test me. Put the words in my mouth. And that's one of the prayers that we pray before we do this show every evening that we do it, is that put the words in our mouth so other people can learn from it. Somebody needed to hear what we got to say, so we got to say it.
Well, and you could have felt condemnation. I mean, the enemy would have wanted you to feel it. But Scripture tells us, therefore, there is no condemnation, you know. And you're walking the path that God has for you now, and Pierce is seeing that. And he sees a change. He may not understand it. And that's what we've got to understand, is even when we're making the changes, people around us may not understand it the way we do, but they see a difference.
Yes.
And when we're walking that path that God has for us, there's no reason for us to feel condemnation. He's not putting us down. He's actually elevating us to a place that he has for us. And too many times the enemy uses these things that that disrupt our life. We don't feel good about things we've done in the past and how we did them and all. And he uses them to disrupt us. And God's showing us, hey, don't hear the noise. Keep going where I've got you going, and I'm going to
stay focused.
I'm going to bring all this about for good. And it's encouraging.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's one thing I can say about Michael. On any given day, we receive usually at least a message from him. And there's about six of us in a group, and we're being encouraged, and then there's days where we're encouraging him.
Yeah, for sure.
And David, and you know, we've got to learn that it's a team effort. We learn about that in sports. We learn about that in school. But a lot of times we don't put that mentality to our faith walk. And it's kind of like when you talk about marriage, you know, everybody wants to say, well, it's a 50-50 thing. No, it ain't. It's 100-100. You got to be willing to give 100% of whatever's needed at any given time at the drop of a hat, even when you don't feel like it. And that, when we get to that mentality as a team, as a family, we can't be disrupted the way we can be when there's doubt, when there's confusion, when there's fear, because we're lifting each other up.
Right.
You know, so it was encouraging to us to be able to encourage, and there's a lot of cool things going on. So, you know, what's next?
I don't know. I'm still trying to put together what he was just saying, what the good Lord was in, or the Holy Spirit to me. I can't put it into words yet, but
he'll get it about 2:00 in the morning.
He'll say,
when he knocks on that window.
Teamwork.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... I like that. Like, moving these pews, y'all may hear the the decoration committee behind us right now. These mics are pretty sensitive, so they may be picking up. Our entire decorating committee of Elizabeth is decorating right now, but we just moved pews, getting ready for tomorrow night. And it's a lot easier to move pews when there's 5, 6, 7 head versus one two. Or two,
yeah,
right?
For sure.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's easy. That's an easy way to break it down, but everything is much easier when you work together. Everything. And it don't matter if it's something you're dealing with when you're praying for somebody, if you're going through, you know, being sick, if you got somebody that you can lean on, it's easier. It don't matter what it is yet you're going through. If there's a team, it's just easier to do. Like, it's kind of like picking corn, which all of y'all better get ready to do, because if y'all are not ready, I'm going to mow it down. I'm going to Venmo'd it is what I'm going to do.
Venmo'd it.
I'm just going to Venmo'd it. And y'all going to be like, hey, what happened to the corn? I Venmo'd it.
Yeah, look for it in your digital wallet.
Yeah.
No, but I don't want to lead anybody to believe that I'm looking for somebody to feel sorry for me.
No, we're happy. We're happy.
I am
that we're getting answers.
Yes,
right.
I mean, that was what the story was supposed to be about. I've got an answer to a prayer.
That's right.
So,
and it might not have been the answer you wanted, right? No. But you did get an answer, and it does feel better to have an answer.
Yes.
And now you can formulate a plan with Jesus' help.
That's right. It's in His hands.
Right.
Yeah.
To proceed. Which does that does make you feel better that there is an answer there,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Just the not knowing that bothers us a lot of times.
That's
the fear.
Right.
It, when you don't know something, fear creeps in. And
but there was a light shined on it, and there's an answer now, and we know which direction that I need to start,
and we can pray specifically for
exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so. You know, I thought it was a good story to share about answered prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, but thank you, Elizabeth, for decorating. Thank you, Elizabeth, for decorating.
No, that's good. It's funny, Doth.
Yeah.
But, Liz Ann, we'll talk about Liz. We prayed over her this morning, and I was standing at the back. And something came over me and go talk to her. She had big old tears in her eyes because she was feeling it. She knew she was surrounded by love. And I told her, this is not going to be an easy task, this next step that you're taking. But don't go, watch your word, don't become indoctrinated. You go up there and you learn what you need to learn. And you come back home,
but
and learn and use your education,
mm-hmm.
but don't fall into the same footsteps as everybody's.
I'm gonna give a good story to that, to kind of give you some encouragement on giving her that word. She was about 4 or 5, and we went over to Savannah, and one of the best things you can do in Savannah. To learn history is go on a ghost tour. They teach a lot of history in that, but they use ghosts to tell a story or whatever. Well, we're going on this thing, and Elizabeth's mama paid for it, and she likes history, and she's eating it up. And all of a sudden, after about it was the second or third time they said something about a ghost, and they're pointing and talking or whatever, and Liz Ann grabs her mama and snatches on her. Mama, Liz said, what? Can I tell her there ain't no ghost? Baby, it's just a story. Okay. A bit later, mama, I need to tell that lady there ain't no ghost. And we had that talk this week that, and I'm not saying this about me and Elizabeth, I'm saying it about our family. We've taught Liz Ann to be confident, to stand up for right, and come against wrongs. And so, when you do that, though, you have to expect kickback. You have to expect pressure. And so I am so thankful for our church family, for Michael to share with her, because as the pastor, but as the dad, sometimes I don't get the same ear from her that other people do.
Imagine that.
And I can say that with 100% certainty, because I was also the preacher's kid that kind of ignored what my mom and dad told me at about that age on some things, and then later on had to come back and say, you know, remember when you said? And both of them said, yeah, well, you was right.
Yeah.
So.
We all grow every once in a while.
Yeah. So I'm thankful for people being willing to stand up and share and be willing to do the unpopular things sometimes and say the unpopular things sometimes, because it means a lot to somebody.
Yeah. Where are we at?
We at 48 minutes.
Daggone. You got 10 more minutes for talking, David?
Well, you know, my aunt did tell me to say potatoes in church this morning. And I got to thinking that I said potatoes. I said taters first. And it has bothered me that I would say potato church. I shouldn't. It's taters.
Well, we got plenty of taters.
We have taters running out of our ears right now.
Yeah.
We picked green beans, and I've eaten green beans the last 2 days. The flat ones, that's the Roma 2s, they're flat.
The flat green beans.
They're good. Jeffers told me to hire them up because they didn't come up good. But I thought maybe we'd get one mess out of them, and we did.
Yeah.
Actually, we brought some and several from the church. Got to take some home.
Good.
Yeah.
So if you're out there and you need some taters. Potatoes. They're good taters.
Send me
some red taters and some
gold ones.
Gold ones. Mm-hmm. I've tried them both, and they good.
They taste like taters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're so fresh, the water even tastes like dirt when you're just mixing up the milk and butter and sour cream.
And it won't be long. We've got peas coming pretty quick. I'd say there's probably going to be some cucumbers next week or so, some squash.
Uncle Sammy, I talked to him yesterday, and they already eating their squash.
Yeah, I plant mine later.
Yeah.
I like to eat it whenever I pick it, but I don't love it. I like it fried, and that's it.
Well, I got where I could finally eat a squash casserole, and it's got a lot of cheese.
Yeah, I like it fried. I like zucchini more. I don't know why. I like grilled zucchini.
I like grilled.
I don't know why. I love.
Yeah.
I think that goes back to Japanese steakhouses. That's probably the first time I ever ate it.
Steamed.
Yeah.
Hibachi.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we need to pull the old flat griddle out, get it ready.
Yeah.
We'll make some noise with it.
We'll have to resurrect that one at the church.
We can do it.
We'll have to lay some hands on that thing, oil it up.
All are up.
Keith, do you have a scripture or anything you need to read? You felt it led to? I really like what you went over today in church, the James 1:1. That was good stuff to me. It spoke to me, especially in what we were going through with Peanut and all. So, you know, don't be afraid to ask if you need help.
That's right. And it's... Well, it goes, we went James 1 and we went down to 18.
Yeah.
But read it. Take it for what it says. Take it at face value. You don't need an interpretation from somebody of what it means. And one of the points that I think the Lord really showed me was if if you took the scripture text away from it and didn't know it was James 1, say 2 through 18, you'd almost think it was out of Proverbs. And the point I made by that was James wrote it, and we know Solomon wrote the Proverbs, but without knowing that it was James 1, 2 through 18, you would see the wisdom, or I see the wisdom that God's speaking through James in that scripture text. And the point I made was that the reason you see that same wisdom, even though Solomon was known as the wisest person to ever have or will live
of his day.
I mean,
and that's what that would come from God.
That was coming from God. So the point that he really spoke to me was it was through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It was divinely implanted into him, and I believe the same word that James gave was divinely input into him through the Holy Spirit. And so why do we question what he can do through us?
Right.
And when you read this scripture and you get that mentality that God can do with us whatever he knows, we're the limiting factor in that. If we don't allow and we're not the conduit to be capable, it's like a valve. We turn that valve down because we suppress what the Holy Spirit does through us. If we open that thing wide open, what can he do through us? We don't know until he starts doing it. But you got to be willing. You got to be ready, available, and
bold.
You know, whatever the outcome is with people here on earth, you're going to upset people, you're going to offend people, and if you offend people for the gospel, big deal. It says that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So if we do it, okay. But yeah, I think that read that scripture in James 1, really 2 through 18. Read James 2, read James 3, whatever.
Read all of it.
Read all of it, but really read it and take it at face value. And see what God speaks into you. See what the Holy Spirit says, hey, I'm going to do this with you. Allow me to do it. And try him, test him. but be ready.
Be ready.
Be ready.
Just like you can't outgive God. Yeah. Well, be ready when the Holy Spirit gets ready to do something through you.
Yeah.
You can't stop it.
So
turn the valve up.
Turn it up. Open it up. And it'll get cleaned out. That conduit will get cleaned out.
That's right.
So
good.
Well, be safe on your trip, Dave.
I'm gonna try.
Yeah.
Gonna try.
Well,
when you gonna be back?
Thursday.
Okay.
Cool.
Sometime Thursday.
We'll try to keep the garden weeded for you.
Yeah, I bet. And I got water, a busy since week. It's raining today, I'm sure y'all gonna take credit for that.
Yeah.
Y'all watered it for
me. We prayed for it.
Well, I do appreciate it.
Yeah.
The rain has been beautiful the last couple of days.
Hey, we even got a little lightning to give you some nitrogen too.
Mm-hmm.
But no, got a busy week. Everybody, you know, remember to say your prayers, read you some verses, see what the good Lord's trying to tell you.
Remember, we love you.
Yeah.
Bold enough to do it.
We love you, everyone.
Yeah, we love y'all.
One of y'all close us out in prayer.
Dear Lord, thank you for letting us have a good conversation this evening. We appreciate the time that you allow for us to get together and speak words that you put on our mind. Help David have a safe to watch over him. Watch over each and every one of our listeners. We ask a healing power over each and every one that might have an ailment right. Watch over my boys. Make them bold. Keep them strong. And help us each and every one be a stronger leader for whoever's watching us, because we might be the humble that they are, that they're allowed to read. So help us, God, to walk in your faith and shine. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.